If I was to say, "What's up, Doc?" You would know that was who? Bugs Bunny. If I was to say, "That's all, folks." All right. What about this one? "I pity the fool." What about this one? So, this is taking you back a while. "Well, I want you to get this and get it straight." There you go. See, we recognize voices.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us as we continue our series, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate, with the first half of Part 9, How to Listen to God. So please open your Bible to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of How to Listen to God.
1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll finish up with our series that we've been doing. What we have here is a failure to communicate, and we've been looking at communication with God and how it breaks down sometimes. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The scripture says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. For he said, I call thee not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli. And he said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. As we continue on with our messages from this particular chapter, this morning we want to talk about how to listen to God. You know, how do you listen to God? Amen. As we come to this final message, we're looking at how to listen to God. We made it clear last week that God is speaking, and if you weren't here last week, you need to either get the notes or you need to get a copy of the message that we dealt with, because we talked about every way that God communicates to people. We talked about the Bible, the Holy Spirit, circumstances, other people, an audible voice, dreams, visions, angels, even the dead. We see on one occasion God used a dead person to come back and communicate, and we talked about theophanies. Now, I want to say this, that with each one of those, we listed a caution. We talked about when God speaks in some of these ways, that there's a caution that needs to be noted so that we don't take it out of context or we don't hear something that God is not saying. So that's why it's important that you go back and you either get the notes or you get the message from last week so that you can hear what those cautions are. But this morning we want to focus on listening to God, listening to the voice of God. You know, I thought about this. I said, you know, people recognize many voices. If I was to say, What's up, Doc? You would know that was who? Bugs Bunny. If I was to say, that's all, folks. All right. What about this one? I pity the fool. What about this one? So this is taking you back a while. Well, I want you to get this and get it straight. There you go. See, we recognize voices. We recognize voices. And we need to realize that God is speaking. And we need to be able to recognize the voice of God. Just as quick as some of you were able to rattle off those voices. If I was to say this, well, hello, Dolly. You would know who that was. There you go. Oh, see. For all you know, he knew all of them. But we recognize voices. We recognize voices. And why is it that we recognize all these other voices? And sometimes we can't recognize the voice of God when it speaks to us. We recognize man's voice. We need to recognize the voice of God. The first thing I want to say, and if you want to follow along in the outline, it's in the bulletin for you, is that Eli sensed that God was speaking. Eli sensed that God was speaking. Look at verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Eli sensed that God was speaking. And like I said last week, God is speaking to all of us. Charles Stanley, in his book, he talks about why God speaks. Why God speaks. And he gives four reasons why God speaks. The first reason that Stanley talks about is that God loves us and desires an intimate bond with those who belong to him. That God loves you. And because God loves you, he has a message for you. He wants to speak to your heart. If you're in a love relationship, one of the things that you realize is evident there is that there is communication between you. Now, if I was to ask this question, and I will ask the question, and you can answer it in your heart. How many people here today believe that God loves them? I'm sure that just about every hand in the house would go up. Do you believe that God loves you? And if God loves you, he's got something to say to you. There's a message that he has to you. Now, the reason some people may struggle with this whole idea, and we went back, going back to the first week now that we started this, we gave reasons why people are not hearing the voice of God. And some people feel that they're unworthy. Some people feel that God doesn't love them. But God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. God demonstrated his love towards you in that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. That's how much God loves you. And if God loves you, God has something to say to you. We better get like Eli. What does it say? And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Eli perceived that God had spoke to him. God loves you and God wants to speak to you. Second thing, God wants to give you guidance. Because he loves you. Because God loves you, he wants to give you guidance. And I like what Stanley says here. God's people today need as much wisdom and counsel as did the saints of the Bible. We still require, listen to this, a direction regarding finances, family, career, church, health, and daily life. God wants to give you guidance. God wants to direct your path. God wants to show you which way it is that you're supposed to go. You know, I have yet to come to God when I'm coming seeking his face and coming before him. I have yet to come and walk away with nothing. God always gives me something. Sometimes God will give me about five things, and then other times it may just be one thing. But I always leave there with something because God has something that he wants to share with you. The songwriter said, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou almighty, guide me by thy powerful hand." You see, what did the songwriter realize? The songwriter realized that we are going through a barren land. This is a dry land. It's a barren land, and we need God to guide us through this land. We run into a barren land. We run into folks that oppose us. That's a barren land.
We run into places where the finances dry up. That's a barren land. We run into situations where families break down. That's a barren land. We run into other places where we're riding down the street and somebody will do something to cause us to be angry. That's a barren land. What did the songwriter say? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Guide me, Lord. Lead me and guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I will not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me. That's why God is speaking, because God wants to lead you. God wants to tell you how to talk to that person that nobody else can talk to. God wants to tell you what to do about your finances. God wants to tell you how to heal, really. God wants to guide you. Eli, he sensed that God was speaking. Another purpose for God speaking is to bring us comfort and assurance. There are sometimes that you hit some difficult roads in life. There are sometimes that you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and it seems like that's the lonely road. That's a lonely road to go. But God wants to comfort you, and God wants to let you know that he's going to be with you as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We've been studying the 23rd Psalm on Wednesday nights, and we talked about this valley, and we said that in this valley there were predators that wait to attack the sheep. We said that there were cliffs that if the sheep weren't careful that they could fall over. We said that there were other dangers along the road, and the comfort that the sheep had was that the shepherd had traveled the road before, and they knew the direction, the shepherd knew the direction, and he was leading the sheep along the way. God wants to comfort you in life. And then Stanley says the fourth reason that God speaks is because God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him. Why does God speak to you? Because he wants you to know who he is. God wants you to know what makes him happy. He wants you to know what makes him sad. He wants you to know what makes him laugh. He wants you to know what makes him cry. God wants you to know him, and we can know God. And I'm going to talk about that here in a second. So the first thing we see is that Eli sensed that God was speaking. The second thing is that Samuel was directed to go somewhere and get quiet. Verse 9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Go somewhere and get quiet. That's basically what God was saying. That's what Eli was saying to Samuel. Look, you're not going to hear God and the noise. You know, it's amazing. You know, yesterday it seemed like, you know, I was just gone, and just rushing. And you know, the minute that I got quiet, the minute that I just settled down and I began to just come into the presence of God. This was about 9:30, 10 o'clock last night, where I just got quiet and came into God's presence. Man, God just began to speak to my heart about so many things. There was about three things God, real quick, had just come up and brought before me. And I found that in all the rushing and in all the busyness of the day, that I wasn't hearing God. Not saying that you can't hear God, but I wasn't hearing him. But as soon as I got quiet, it seems like, you know, God just began to speak to my heart. And, you know, we need, I was reading an article, and it talked about slowing down to catch up. And it talks about these rocket ships in space whenever they wanted to connect with each other, that the one that was on the higher plane was going faster than the other one that was on the lower level. But whenever they wanted to hook up, that the one on the higher level had to drop down. And when it dropped down, it actually, because it was getting into a lower atmosphere, that it slowed down. And it had to slow down in order to catch up with the other one. Because if it stayed up here, it would always be ahead, and the other one would never be able to catch it. But when it dropped down, it had to slow down in order to catch up. And I wonder sometimes if God is not speaking to our hearts and God is saying, look, you got to slow down so you can catch up. You know, you're running too far ahead. You're running too far ahead. And you know, the bad thing about running ahead is that you're on your own program. You're on your own program because you're running ahead of me. Look, slow down. Get quiet. The psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. And you know, and this is one of the things that God impressed on my heart last night when I was meditating over my message. And it's this. And I'm speaking to somebody right now. God is challenging somebody today to take it to another level. All right? I don't know who it is. I know for me, I already know that God is asking me to take it to another level. I remember when I had preached for my pastor out in Colorado a couple years ago. And it was during the fall, and the Denver Broncos were playing. And he loves the Denver Broncos. And I was over his house, and we were eating. And he was talking about going to watch the game. And I said, well, how come you're not going to watch it here, Pastor? He said, because he got rid of his TV. And he was going to go over to his son's house and watch the football game. And he said that, this is what he told me. I'll never forget it. He said, you know, Bill, he said, God showed me that he wants to take me to another level. And the level that he's trying to take me to, I'm not going to be able to do it, you know, while the TV is here. So he got rid of his TV. Now, he's got it back since then. But you know, the point that I thought the point was very well taken. That in order for him to move to that level that God was taking him to, that there were some things he had to deal with in order to move ahead. And God spoke to my heart last night, and God said to me first, all right, to me first, but to speak to somebody here and say that God wants to take you to another level, but he's not going to be able to do it unless you get quiet. Unless you get quiet. You're not going to go to that next level. God wants to take you to the next level. Maybe it's on your job. Maybe it's with your education. Maybe it's with your finances. Maybe it's in relationships. But God wants to take you to the next level. And the only way that you're going to get to that next level, and this is a message for somebody today, the only way that you're going to get there is to get quiet before God. To get quiet so that he can communicate to you. You know, I've shared before, you know, we live in a society where we just rush. You know, we rush and we crowd God out. That there's no place for God. There's no time for God. We crowd him out and we'll never get to that next level. You know, so some of us are stuck in mediocrity. We're stuck there. And God's saying, look, you need to move out. You know, that's why, you know, praise God for Brother Daniel Cephas, you know, who's stretching himself. Who's moving beyond the crowd and what the crowd wants to do, you know, to go on down to the beach and get loose, you know, let's go somewhere and do something. Let me stretch myself. It's easy to go to the beach. It's easy to do that. But let me stretch myself. And God wants to stretch somebody. He wants to take somebody to the next level. And you're not going to do it unless you get quiet. The quiet time. What is the quiet time? The quiet time is that intentionally intended time where I come into the garden of God to expose my soul to the radiance of his presence through his word and prayer and thus allowing his spirit to speak to my heart. That's what the quiet time is. The quiet time is when I come into the radiance of God's presence through his word and through prayer and where God just speaks to my heart through his spirit. Oh, those are some rich times. Those are some times when God moves you to that next level. What are some of the requirements for this quiet time? Well, first of all, you need to have an appointment with God. Amos talked about can two come together except they have an appointment. And some of you need to make an appointment with God. You need to write it down on your day planner or on your palm pilot. You need to write it down. You need to say appointment with God. Every day, have an appointment with him. Now, we make appointment with other people, and we do our best. We do the best that we can to make sure we keep those appointments. We would dare, unless it was an emergency or unless something happened beyond circumstances, you know, beyond our control, we would not break that appointment with that other person. But yet and still, not only do we break appointments with God, we don't even make appointments with him. And God is saying, look, in order for you to go to this next level, in order for me to take you to the next level, you got to get quiet and you got to have an appointment with me. Appointment with God. 5:30. Let me ask this question. How many people in here, don't raise your hand. How many people in here have an appointment with God? How many people have an appointment? Because you see, an appointment presupposes two things. First of all, it presupposes a time. And secondly, it presupposes a place. If you have an appointment with God, what does that mean? That means there's a time and a place. And then let me even go a step further. It means that there's a reason. There's a reason that we are coming together. And if you don't have an appointment with God, now once again, maybe you don't write it, maybe it's not a written appointment, but I'll say this, and I'm gonna say this as nice as I can. If you don't have an appointment with God, shame on you. Shame on you. If when I asked you that question just now, and you don't have an appointment with God, who in the world is more important than God? I can't figure this thing out. Who in the world is it more important for me to hear from? But yet and still, you know, we'll make appointments with everybody else except God. So this quiet time, there has to be an appointment. The second thing, there has to be an expectant spirit. You got to come into his presence expecting God to do something. You know, it's just like the young preacher that he was talking to Charles Spurgeon. And he said that, you know, man, he said, I had this revival, and I wanted to see all these people come to Christ. You know, I wanted to see 100 people come to Christ as a result of this revival. And he said, and it didn't happen. And I didn't understand it. And he was telling Charles Haddon Spurgeon this. I don't understand why, you know, I told him I wanted 100 people. I thought God was going to give me 100 people. Why didn't it happen? And Spurgeon said, well, you really didn't expect God to do that, did you? And he said, well, really, I guess not. He said, that's why. You didn't expect it. Yeah, when you come into the presence of God, you got to have an expectant spirit. You got to expect that God is going to speak to your heart. You got to expect him to have a message for you. Amen. You know, and sometimes, like I said, it's a message that we might not want to hear. But we got to expect God. When I come there, Lord, I come and I expect to hear from you. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear calling on my, you hear the voice I hear. That songwriter, that singer, that song expected God to say something to him. And when I come, I expect God. You got to come with an expectant spirit. You got to come with your Bible. You know, now, one of the things that, and I challenge you, have your Bible. You know, if you have a devotional plan, maybe some people are reading through the Bible, some people are reading through this book, that book. Maybe you got Charles Stanley Seasons of Life or Chuck Swindoll, whatever it is. You know, come with a book, a Bible, you know, so that as you sit there in the presence that, you know, you can just begin. And, you know, sometimes I come and I start reading, and all of a sudden, man, God, I got to read 3 chapters a day. God said, no, you don't. You stop right there. I'm stopping you right there. And God stops me right there. And there are some days that I come and I get all 3 in. I read all 3 chapters. But then there are some times when God will stop you. But you know, have some kind of plan that you are going through. Or if God just, you know, sometimes God will just tell you, look, close your Bible and just sit. Close your Bible and just sit. And you'll just sit there. And God will begin to pour so many things into your spirit. Man, there'll just be so many things coming into your mind, into your heart. And that's why the next thing you got to have, a notebook. You got to have a notebook. When you're sitting there, have a pen and a notebook.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Listen to God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, How to Listen to God, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request How to Listen to God or program number 060-319. That's 877-831-5060 and request How to Listen to God or program number 060-319. Today's teaching was part 9 of our 9-part series titled, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate. The entire series is made available by request. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. We here at Anchored in Jesus would like to invite you to come and be our guest this Sunday at Bethany Baptist Church. Service starts at 10:30. For directions or further details, not only pertaining to our Sunday morning worship service, but also the various other services at the Bethany Center each week, and training opportunities offered through the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, refer to bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.